640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lin. We begin overseas where a Japan Airlines aircraft caught fire on the runway of Tokyo Haneda Airport after colliding with a Coast Guard plane. Here's BBC correspondent Sue Anjana Tiwari.
We saw the fire start. It was quite isolated on one part of the plane initially and for about 20 minutes, and it very quickly spread.
There are reports that the captain of the Coast Guard plane was able to get out, but there are still five who were on board that plane unaccounted for. All 367 passengers on the Japan Airlines plane were able to evacuate. The death toll from a powerful earthquake that struck Japan yesterday has grown now to at least 48.
Aerial shots by Japan's state broadcaster NHK showed a school parking lot with a clear message. Classroom chairs had been arranged to spell SOS. With land access to the remote Noto Peninsula largely severed by the quake, many residents remain trapped under collapsed buildings. And even for those who managed to escape, supplies are running short. Lucy Kraft, CBS News, Hitachi Ota City, Japan.
The Israel-Hamas war may be entering a new phase. Here's CBS's Jared Hill.
The war is taking a new turn. Israeli officials confirm they're pulling several thousand troops from Gaza in the coming weeks. We will allow soldiers to gather strength for the next activity, said the spokesman for the Israeli military, echoing words from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that the fighting will continue until Hamas is crushed and more than 100 hostages are freed from Gaza.
Ukraine says it desperately needs more weapons for its war with Russia.
Ukraine's foreign minister has pleaded for faster supplies of air defense systems to counter the renewed Russian assault. Dmytro Kuleba also asking for more combat drones and long-range missiles. President Biden unilaterally announced another $250 million military aid package for Ukraine last week. But another $50 billion remains held up in a stalemated Congress. European nations reportedly strategizing on how to support Ukraine independently of the U.S. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Did you see any movies during the long holiday weekend?
How do you do it?
I'm making chocolate, of course. How do you like it? Dark, white, nutty, absolutely insane.
Now, how about all the above? Wonka was big, leading the way, bringing in $29.5 million. That helped Hollywood cross the $9 billion mark in ticket sales for 2023, a big increase from the previous year, still about $2 billion less of the yearly box office before the pandemic. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's presidential primary ballot should be determined Tuesday. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee meets to decide which names will be on Wisconsin's April ballot. Last week, the Wisconsin Elections Commission threw out a complaint to keep Donald Trump's name off the ballot. Policymakers will propose new legislative maps for Wisconsin in January. The state Supreme Court has ruled the current maps unconstitutional. Bob Moline is a volunteer with a grassroots organization called Grow Action.
This is the best chance we have for truly fair maps, and it's the right process.
Court-appointed consultants will consider the maps, and new boundaries are to be established by spring. Republicans who drew the current maps object to the idea that the boundaries are unfairly biased. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Indiana Pacers, 122-113. Although Giannis scored 30 points and had 18 rebounds, he was asked what was missing from his team.
Offensively, I don't think it was bad. I think, we did turn the ball over one time, if I remember well. But it was like we couldn't get a stop. and they were able to get the win.
The loss snapped the Bucks' 15-game winning streak at home. The series continues Wednesday in Indianapolis. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers lost the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa to LSU, the final 35-31. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
It's a lot of hot air. That's why I don't like to make statements up here. I don't like to say things that we're going to do moving forward, because ultimately you are what you put on film. You know, whether it's your culture, whether it's the things that you want to do. We know darn well that we didn't finish well this year. We didn't finish well. We didn't start well. There's a lot of things. It gives us a hell of a lot of things that we got to start working on here on January 14th when our guys get back rolling.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy here through about mid-afternoon, and then it's going to be mostly cloudy here with the wind decreasing later today. Our high 36, the wind southwest gusting to 25 or 30 this morning, down to about 5 to 15 this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy 28. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with late-day flurries, high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Let's see, you flip this switch over here, this dial goes over here. What does this button do over here? Oh, it makes it look like this. Good morning. Hey there, Wisconsin. Yeah, we're back. It's Tuesday, January 2nd. New month, new year. Nice to have you along from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north live from Lake Wissota. Whether you're listening on the radio or through the app or our social media video feeds, and if you're listening on demand by podcast, thank you very much for subscribing and taking us along on your day. I got a question for you. What did you promise yourself you'd do today differently today? The very first work day of 2024 for most folks. What did you say you would do differently in your routine today? A lot of those New Year's resolutions are starting this morning. Can we help at all? Does it help to get it out there publicly to say, I'm going to do, you know, this differently. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. And if you want to call us up and tell us all about it, you can do that. The studio line here, as always, is 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can also use the Civic Media app to call or text us your comments or questions at that number. We'd love to hear from you, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or, of course, if you're watching on, whether it's on the Civic Media Facebook page, the Up North News Facebook page, put a comment there. We may see it and put it up on screen. And in fact, already just out of the get-go, John is writing, good morning, Pat. Good morning, John. And thanks for being one of our online viewers as well. So coming up this morning, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us from 6:30 onward, normally on Mondays, but she agreed to help us out on Tuesday to get the work week started because there's been some news, apparently. Now, I took an extended holiday vacation for the first time in I don't know how long, thinking it was going to be, you know, a slow news. No, this is the state of Wisconsin where there are no more slow news cycles. So a few things happened that we're going to get caught up on. And Chad Holmes, who never seems to take a day off from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, will join us as well and also talk about some of the stories that we missed. And along the way, we'll also kind of give ourselves a little pat on the back here, because this week, this day, basically marks our fourth birthday, our four-year anniversary for Up North News, which launched on the first work day of 2020. We had nothing for newsletter subscribers except the six of us who were sitting in a room That's now over 100,000 people who get our newsletter every day, and you can get it as well by going to upnorthnewswi.com. Our website was a blank slate, you know, with just a couple of filler stories that we put in there that were basically, you know, predictions on what 2020 would bring. Oops. COVID hit about, you know, 3-4 weeks later, made its first arrival in the States, and all bets were off. But through all those challenges, we have continued to create and improve upon Up North News, and so happy that so many people came along that we actually created a radio show out of it here, thanks to our friends at the Civic Media Radio Network. And so folks listening around Wisconsin this morning, we can start you off at 10 past 6 with temperatures. Lake Wissota, where we are live right now, it's 23 degrees. And then the rest of the state, basically left to right, top to bottom, Hayward is at 24, Park Falls 23, Wausau is at 21 degrees, Green Bay 25. And then over in La Crosse, it's 25, Wisconsin Rapids 23, Oshkosh 24, and then down to Madison 23. And it's 23 in Waukesha, where we'd normally find the handsome young man, Greg Bach, and instead we're blessed with another handsome young man. Luke Mathers is here.
I was wondering how you were going
to. One of my New Year's resolutions is just be nicer to Mr. Mathers.
All right, folks, you all heard it. It's here on the radio. I have it recorded now. It will be kept for prosperity. Or for posterity. Sorry.
It's posterity.
Yeah, posterity.
I can't even be nice to you without correcting you.
See, but I knew it was, as soon as I said it, I was wrong. I'm still waking up, Pat. You know, I've been up for a couple hours because I had to, you know, make the drive over. But glad to be with you here on the first live show that you've got going on for 2024.
Well, and Greg's taking one extra day off. As you know, Greg also works As Goes Wisconsin, which is off for one more day. But not only will Greg be back here tomorrow, and not only will Greg be back on As Goes Wisconsin tomorrow, but apparently somebody else is coming back tomorrow on As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah, Kristen Bry going to be returning to the airwaves. She's back. Will be here live in the studio tomorrow, January 3rd, Wednesday, January 3rd. 10 to noon for As Goes Wisconsin with her, Jane, and Greg.
That is just awesome. She's had hopefully a lovely maternity break. Lovely in terms of bonding. Let's not kid ourselves. There's a lot of middle of the night feedings and
much different than, you know, flying down to Texas and enjoying South Padre Island and then, you know, the warmer temperatures.
Who does that kind of thing? Oh, wait, that would be me taking. Taking, like I said, an extended holiday break. I thought I'd planned it so well. I was so proud of myself that, you know, it was set up perfectly to take this nice 2-week break, unplug from the news. And in fact, on that last Friday before Christmas, so what was that, the 22nd?
Yep.
Courier Newsroom, which Up North News is parent company, gives everybody the afternoon off on that Friday afternoon, the 22nd. So not only was I away in Texas, but Sherita Booker and Christina Laurie and Selena Heller, they all had the afternoon off as well. I mean, there was nobody because we're a small newsroom. But, you know, it's the Friday before Christmas. What could possibly happen, right? Besides the Wisconsin Supreme Court dropping a bombshell landmark ruling, throwing out the gerrymandered maps. And so I thought, well, normally there would be like somebody on duty. And you know who that somebody was for all those years? It was me.
You?
It was me. There's no holiday break, you know, in news. And so I'd be doing something here around the house, but I could come back into the office here anytime. But no, instead, my son-in-law tells me about it in the car down in Texas as we're driving the whole crew. There's 9 of us. We rented a house on the beach for 2 weeks so I could have all the kids and the grandkids together in one place at Christmas time. And we're all in this big SUV together heading toward one of those indoor trampoline parks where the grandkids are going to, you know, go into ball pits and zip lines and trampolines. And he tells me this with like 15 minutes left in the drive. And he felt bad. I just turned to him and like, why did you tell me this now? I can't do anything about this, you know? And so I'm just tortured until we can get there. And then so now as all these kids are running around, you know, and having fun, I'm sitting there tapping on my phone because I don't have my laptop with me, tapping away on my phone, trying to get something out on the website and on social media before it all gets done. So
There is no break in the news wherever you are.
Your out of office message didn't make it to the Supreme Court. You had to let them know that you weren't there, and they were supposed to hold off on the decision until you were back, Pat. Come on.
Here's the thing. I for a moment there, I was both the unluckiest reporter in Wisconsin and the luckiest. I was Schrodinger's reporter because I was unlucky in that I had to stop everything and at least get something, a little something out there. But I was also one of the luckiest because a lot of the reporters who were on duty Friday, who probably thought they were about to wrap up their day, instead had to extend their day by hours probably to get more thorough stories on. And so I could feel their rage in Texas that they were directing at the Supreme Court for putting that out on a Friday afternoon like that.
Well, I could tell you that the Civic Media News team was sitting around kind of waiting because there had been murmurs that there was going to be that decision, that there was going to be a holiday weekend drop. And so I think our news team at Civic Media was just glad it was closer to 3 p.m. rather than, you know, 5 or 6 p.m. because they were able to get everything done and reported on before truly leaving for the holiday weekend.
And by the way, the state Supreme Court has done that before under conservative control. Sometimes those Friday decisions came out closer to 6 p.m. So there is precedent for that. So I totally understand. So that's great that Terry and the team there were on top of things and ready to go, because it was big. And of course there's going to be a lot to talk about as the case progresses. But so that was kind of the behind the scenes thing on that heading into what had been the start of a lovely vacation. And it was a lovely vacation. It was so nice to have everybody together that way. We're very fortunate that way, but it's also very nice to be back. I was explaining to some neighbors that, you know, with batteries, the little battery indicator, you know, as a battery is recharging, the little emojis, it's like it's red and then it's yellow and then it's green. And for people like me, it's pale white because you're really burned out, and then shades of tan close to sunburned, where you indicate the batteries are recharged and I'm ready to go again. You know, the ruddy complexion is here. And I realized I'm saying this to a couple of my very Scandinavian neighbors. And I'm like, oh, sorry, not you guys. You just go from, you know, alabaster to pale to recharge their batteries. They took it in stride. They like me besides
myself. I was going to say, glad to hear.
The point being, the batteries are recharged, and it is really nice to be back. Though I will admit, I got acclimated pretty nicely to not getting up at 4:30. Not at first. The first 3-4 mornings down at the beach house, I am up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and making coffee and sitting by myself there, thinking, "Oh my gosh, is it going to be like this for 2 weeks?" And it wasn't. Eventually, it the body clock adjusted, but sure enough, this morning, 4:30, it's like, okay, time to make the donuts. And so here we are doing it. So tomorrow we will have State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley in with us at 7:30 for part of our regular Wednesday homeroom segment where we talk about education issues in Wisconsin. But I'd also like to call your attention to some of the shows that we did put together for the holiday break. And a couple of them did air a couple of times, and so you probably heard some of our best interviews. But there was one more that aired for the first time yesterday for New Year's Day. And it was, I've got it back here someplace. It's a book author, Samuel Friedman, who wrote this book about Minnesota Senator Hubert Humphrey and Wisconsin Congressman Andrew B. Miller. And wrote that about the 1948 Democratic Convention, when the Democratic Party really shifted gears and fully embraced civil rights. And that way, when you hear people go, "Oh, Republicans are the party of Lincoln and Democrats are the party of segregationists," those are folks who really don't know their history, or they're basically ignoring it. And so take a look at the show that we put up yesterday, and I hope that you'll get a lot out of it. All right, like I said, we missed a few things along the way, news stories that took place over the holiday break. So we'll cover some more of that coming up wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday, January 2nd. When you're here, you're up north. Back in just a bit. Just because I'm dead.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
So what did I miss? What did I miss? Virginia, my home, sweet home, I want to give you a kiss.
Well, we'll cover some of the things we missed in just a bit. It's always nice to have a chance to grab anything from the Hamilton soundtrack. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us at 6:30. Chad Holmes joining us closer to 7:50 on this Tuesday, January 2nd. It is 6:20 in the morning, and this is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's nice to have you back here. Let's see, we have a few sports notes to pass along. We've got, of course, the Badgers played in the famed ReliaQuest Bowl. Is fame the right word? This might be the first and only year it's the ReliaQuest Bowl. I was looking through the bowl history and these things that the bowls that aren't around anymore. There was like, there used to be I think this is like the Tangerine Bowl.
This is the Orange Bowl.
At one point. The Wisconsin one is, is the one that became the Citrus Bowl.
The Orange Bowl
is still around. Yeah. This was the Florida Citrus Bowl, but before that it was the Tangerine Bowl, and then it was the Outback Bowl for several years. I don't know. There's so many bowl games. So many of these bowl games were absolute turkeys. You know, the blowouts, like Florida State getting blowed up, and
that's who Florida State and Georgia played in the Orange Bowl. Okay, I was thinking Wisconsin had the Orange Bowl, but it was the Tangerine Bowl.
Once upon a time. Yeah, okay. There were all citrus. There's all kinds of
bowls that citrus.
They all have all these corporate names now. And like I said, a lot of them just weren't that great. Apart from the two college football semifinal games, which of course really matter, I would dare say this one between the Badgers and LSU was one of the few bowl games that it had no significance, but was actually a really good game. Really good. Back and forth. Badgers went up 14-0. LSU came back to tie it. Badgers went up 28-14. LSU came back to tie it. And again, LSU needed to come from behind, but they did beat the Badgers 35-31. But it was a good game.
Yeah, it was. I think a lot of the announcers were surprised at how good the game was, because they just kept referring to Wisconsin as Bucky Badger.
Bucky Badger, this and that.
And Kelsey's like, why does he keep were the Wisconsin Badgers, not Bucky Badger? All that, like, the mascot wasn't getting hurt or anything like that.
I feel like he did not know, you know, before the show notes, and he just glommed onto that, like, oh, I like this Bucky Badger.
No, I think a lot of the prep was expecting LSU to kind of, like a lot of the other bowl games that you just mentioned, roll over Wisconsin, because they were ranked top 15, and they had most of their star wide receivers playing, but not their star quarterback. Daniels did not play after winning the Heisman. Why risk the injury, I guess, was their mindset. And LSU, I think, was just expected to run away with it, and the Badgers made a game of it, unfortunately.
Bucky Badger
made a game out of it, but ended up not being able to pull off the victory.
Well, because the offensive line, those last three plays were a 13-yard sack, a 10-yard sack, and another 13-yard sack. So not something they would necessarily hang their hats on to wrap up the season, but it was also a season of, shall we say, mixed expectations at best. So the fact that on the whole it was a good game to watch is kind of a win for New Year's Day bowl viewers. In the other semifinal games, Michigan beat Alabama, Washington beat Texas, and so it'll be two unbeaten teams, Michigan versus Washington, next week in Houston for the National College football title. I think, too, the other thing that spoiled the announcers about the mascots, I think the Pop-Tarts Bowl did it. Because all anybody can talk about is the suicidal Pop-Tart, you know, that basically drops itself in a toaster and becomes edible at the end of the game. It was the weirdest funeral pyre, you know, kind of self-immolation you could ever want to see from a sports mascot.
I had no idea that was happening until like after the like all I saw was the end result memes, and I was so confused.
The end result memes brought tears to my eyes. There were so many good ones.
It was an interesting way, you know, how they always say the internet kind of has like one main character each day. The fact that the Pop-Tart mascot was the main character to end 2023 and start 2024, a very interesting way for social media to kind of, you know, wrap up one year and start another.
They did. It lent itself very well with a premise. It was very much a collective national feeling of, what am I watching?
what is happening here? Right now?
The mascot is offing itself and is gleeful about this. I don't think that sends a great message. So that tells you about college football this year. The Bucks hosted Indiana last night, but fell to the Pacers 122-113, snapping the Bucks' 15-game home winning streak. Giannis had a triple-double, 30 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists. It was his 38th career triple-double, his third this season. And the Bucks are doing well for the most part on the season, except against Indiana. Only one win out of four meetings so far, and they will face off again on Wednesday in Indiana. The Badger men's basketball team tonight takes on Iowa. You can catch the broadcast starting at 5 p.m. on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center and Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. And for Packers fans, Jordan Love threw three touchdown passes and ran for a score Sunday night to put the Packers in control for a playoff spot after beating the Minnesota Vikings 33-10 in Minneapolis. And now that game on Sunday against the Bears to wrap up the regular season, you know, everything was flexed, meaning, you know, nobody was going to know game time until the last possible minute. We now know that it's going to be at 3:25 on Sunday afternoon to be taking on the Chicago Bears. Packers have their destiny in their own hands, Mr. Mathers. So here's your bold prediction on whether the Packers will take care of the Bears as they did earlier this season and get into the playoffs, or will it be a reenactment of last year's season finale, when all we had to do was beat the lowly Detroit Lions to get into the playoffs and Aaron Rodgers couldn't muster it.
Lowly Detroit Lions? Come on, they are the NFC North champions this year. And last year was just a nice little preview of what they were going to do this season. So I don't know.
But we had Aaron Rodgers.
Thumb Aaron Rodgers that was, you know, looking forward more to, I think, his darkness retreat than actually, you know, doing anything in the playoffs. So I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to be a nice season of Chicago defeats for the bookends of the season. So it's going to be a reenactment of week one. That is my prediction. And that Jordan Love is going to continue showing off the streaks of greatness that he could have with him as the Packers starting quarterback.
He definitely has shown potential. I mean, all kinds of potential. And so that is something where, again, that's been our outlook all season. We don't know what to expect, so don't get too emotionally invested one way or the other. As far as other headlines that took place over the weekend, we have to note the passing of former U.S. Senator Herb Cole, a lifetime of service, virtually unparalleled in terms of his generosity, his service, the class which he offered all about. This was somebody who knew that he was blessed as a man of means. It did not mean that he didn't work hard. He did, but he recognized that other people also work hard, but could benefit from his compassion and his generosity. And, you know, we're very fortunate that Tammy Baldwin succeeded in that seat because you could not have a more telling comparison about U.S. senators than what Herb Cole and Tammy Baldwin give to Ron Johnson. So, again, we tip our cap to Herb for a lifetime of service and a good example. Kristen Lyerly joins us on the other side here to talk more about what we all miss after this. This is Up North News Radio.
Wait to get to the bottom of this.
What did I miss?
Jefferson, welcome home.
Mr. Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton.
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A Japan Airlines plane collided with a Coast Guard plane on the runway of Tokyo Haneda Airport. BBC correspondent Sue Anjana Tiwari.
The Coast Guard has confirmed that there was a collision with one of its planes, a smaller plane.
While we hear all passengers were able to evacuate the Japan Airlines plane, we are now hearing from Tokyo TV reporting five from the Coast Guard plane are dead. The captain of that plane was able to get out. A powerful earthquake struck Japan yesterday. Correspondent Ben Tracy's following.
Japanese officials say there are currently no signs of any problems at the nation's nuclear power plants, including the Shika nuclear plant, which is closest to the quake's epicenter.
The Israeli military confirms it's pulling thousands of troops from the Gaza Strip.
Confirmation of the drawdown came the same day that Israel's Supreme Court decided not to move forward with a key part of Netanyahu's controversial plan to curb the powers of the country's judicial system.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lin.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New, higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increases last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. There's one state elections official who says he wants a database his peers across the country could share to fight misinformation spread by artificial intelligence. Adrian Fonce is Arizona's Democratic Secretary of State.
Our election officials can have this reference space where they can go learn more, figure more out, and then continue to up their own game.
A recent poll finds most Americans are concerned about the role AI will play in spreading lies in this year's elections. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy here through about mid-afternoon, and then it's going to be mostly cloudy here with the wind decreasing later today. Our high 36, the wind southwest gusting to 25 or 30 this morning, down to about 5 to 15 this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy 28. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with late-day flurries, high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM WAUK and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
If you can find a way,
this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling
follow
lasts
up
more
north
than
news
a moment.
Online
we
anytime.
Can change that.
Search Facebook,
learn how
Instagram, and Twitter for UpNorth News,
brought to you by
the and our homepage, UpNorthNewsWY.com.
I learned it from you, Dad. How to powder my nose.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us as well. Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
Good morning and happy new year.
Happy new year to you as well. My late Christmas gift to you is the presence of Luke Mathers as Greg Bach takes one more day off and he'll be back then. So here's Luke.
I'm so happy. What a delightful surprise this morning.
Greg was here all the last, 2 weeks. So let's not act like Greg also took the last 2 weeks off, though.
Boy, he's really not going to let that go that I took 2 weeks off, is he?
It's 2.5 almost, nope. But who's counting?
Yeah. 2.5, yeah.
What was that like? I'm just about to leave my 2-week shift. I'm going off this morning in half an hour. Has it been nice for you on the beach and stuff? Hibbing's been cold.
So nice. Yeah, beach. Hibbing is not known for its beaches. This is true. But then again, honestly, neither is South Padre Island is very, very windswept, shall we say. And it was, quote unquote, cold there for that time of year. The locals were not at all happy that it was only in the 50s. Meanwhile, every pasty Midwesterner is down there in shorts and flip-flops going, this is great. So we didn't. Nobody complained.
Hey, it was also 50 degrees here in Wisconsin on Christmas.
Yes.
So I was wearing my Birkenstocks around the house, trying to get things ready to host the family.
It was really something to see a video on TikTok done by, it was by Dr. Lyerly, having a little New Year's chat with her followers. And I'm hearing this crunch, 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 realizing she's walking in this white stuff that crunches beneath your feet and it looks all white and fluffy out there. There's snow up there in northern Minnesota, isn't there?
It was the weirdest thing. All of a sudden, small white flakes started falling from the sky. And it was beautiful. And yesterday, kids were out sledding. There's probably, I think we might have gotten 2 inches, but kids were out sledding. Some guy was out loading things into his car wearing shorts in classic northern, I'm fighting winter and I'm embracing all of this. Yeah, yep. It was beautiful.
That's great. So having to be away for these couple of weeks working, did you open all your gifts beforehand? Did you have some that came along with you?
When I arrived, we haven't opened our family gifts yet. We're doing that at the end of January because, when your kids grow up, they're all over the place. I mean, I've got one in Japan right now. So we have to find that time that we can be together. But when I checked into the hotel right before Christmas, there was a box waiting for me. And my little sister, my delightful, wonderful little sister, Carrie, had sent me a Christmas present. It said, do not open until Christmas. So I didn't. I had incredible restraint. And when I did open it, it was these 6 little Christmas trees in a bottle that when you take the cork out, a personal message from each of my kids and my sister and my partner, Craig, they had all recorded messages for me so that I wouldn't be alone on Christmas.
Aww.
I was bawling as I opened everyone.
That is amazingly thoughtful. That's such a nice gift. That's so nice of your family to do that.
My
good for you.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I can't recall if I told the story because I wasn't sure if I would spoil the surprise for Sherry, but I think I might have told the surprise about completely screwing up her gift. That she's for years, she sees kids, little kids with their little light up tennis shoes. And she's always said, I want some light up tennis shoes. And I'd always kind of laugh it off. And this year I thought, well, I'm going to look and see if there are women's tennis shoes that kind of light up. So I Googled that up. I picked the most colorful looking one, sent away for it. It came. I opened up the box. This was 2-3 days before our trip. So there wasn't time to return it when I realized they didn't light up. I picked something on a Google search. I searched for light up shoes, but those particular shoes didn't light up. They were brightly painted. to look like, you know, like all these different colored lights, but that was just the way they were painted. They weren't light up shoes. So,
but Cher is an 80s gal, so she probably really appreciated just
she did
colors.
Actually, yeah. She was like, no, you can't send these back. I like them. Now you just have to get her some other light up shoes to go along with these. So I completely messed that up. Whereas I got nice things like the little photo coffee mug here with all the grandkids on it. So that was very nice. And what was supposed to be a slow news cycle, Kristen. Supposed to be a slow news cycle. It was not. You have been working with Advocates for Fair Maps for the longest time. And the whole reason that we started the segment playing Oh Happy Day was you could hear that from Wisconsin all the way down to Texas, to northern Minnesota and beyond, when the state Supreme Court finally threw out these rigged, corrupt maps by doing something so basic, Kristen. For all the talk about, you know, that conservatives talk about being originalists and original intent, and the Supreme Court now just simply went with the original intent in the Constitution that said districts have to be contiguous. They can't be these creepy, crawly things that snake all over and have like little islands of territory that aren't even connected to them. It's so basic, and it shouldn't have taken 12 years, but at least it's finally happening.
It is so basic. And if you look at some of the maps that they used as evidence, I mean, there are maps of Madison where there are just floating islands that are not at all connected to the other body of voters. It is, you're right. It's ridiculous that it's taken 12 years, but the world is ridiculous right now. Look at some of the things that people are saying. It's ridiculous that we haven't expanded Medicaid in Wisconsin right now. And my hope, my sincere hope, that like I really feel this in my heart, is that in 2024, we're going to turn away from some of this ridiculousness and we are going to return back to common sense. Because I know that when you have conversations with people, that's what they want. They're tired of all of this garbage. They just want people to be making common sense choices for them so that they can afford things, so that they can do their job, enjoy their family, and live their lives.
It's all they want. And that's where, again, like you said, coming into 2024, the voters have a chance to say, okay, well, we've tried some things in the past, but maybe we want to go for the things that are kind of boring and normal.
Be boring in 2024.
Like service-driven. and look, voters have shown that they could do that. They did it with Joe Biden in 2020, with Tony Evers in 2018 and 2022. It's just that now that we have another presidential election upon us, people have since understood, since the last presidential election, the importance of the president's role in Supreme Court justices after the Dobbs decision. And you see, you know, how important that is, that voters don't just think about who do you want to have a beer with, or, you know, who makes you, you know, feel this way or that way. It's who will actually take the job seriously and get things done for the American people.
And the fact that we had to have three justices appointed by Donald Trump to get that message is really unfortunate, but, you know, it just means that we've got work to do and we know exactly what that work is.
Yeah. So they did take care of the gerrymandered maps. About some of the other issues that have come up here. Well, actually, before I leave the gerrymandered maps, I want to say that the decision itself ran like 250 pages, but the majority opinion was, I think, only about 75 or so. The rest of it was the conservative justices. I mean, it was really something to read. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler, it read more like a confession. Everything that they were accusing the progressive justices of doing basically was a retelling of what the conservative justices and the conservative legislators did from 2011 onward to rig the maps. It was extremely telling that their reaction was so, I will say, emotional, given that the law is supposed to be rather dispassionate. But, and again, I don't know how much of it you read, but there was a lot of projection, shall we say, from critics of the decision.
I didn't read any of it, so thank you for doing the heavy lifting there while you were sitting in your beach chair. That's much appreciated. But you knew, I mean, this has been an emotional topic for a long time, and you knew right from the very beginning when I can't remember which justice it was, but she didn't even let the lawyer finish his argument before she interrupted.
Rebecca Bradley interrupted in 7 seconds. Yes. Yep.
Yes. So, I mean, clearly this is much more like a soap opera than it actually is like the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I think that's part of the reason why Wisconsinites are just, they're just tired. We're just tired of all of these shenanigans, and we want our government to function for the people.
Now we wait to see if the U.S. Supreme Court gets involved. And again, technically, they should not. This is a state matter. It was decided on state constitutional issues. The U.S. Supreme Court should stay out of it. But again, you've got 6 right-wing justices there who could very easily concoct a reason to take this up. And even if they can't stop the decision, they could delay it enough that new maps would not yet be implemented this year. So that's why we're going to continue to watch this much more closely. Another thing that came up that will involve the U.S. Supreme Court and has involved state bodies like the Wisconsin Elections Commission is whether Donald Trump should even be on the ballot. Is he qualified to be on the ballot, or does the 14th Amendment say he is an insurrectionist and, you know, somebody who tries to overthrow the government should not run for office? Now, in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Elections Commission immediately punted on it and said, nope, take it to court if you want to go from there. But Colorado, the Supreme Court there, and Maine, the Secretary of State there, have said, yeah, this, you can read this pretty plainly and see what Donald Trump did. People say, well, the voters should get to decide. Well, the voters did decide. They decided on Joe Biden. And Donald Trump still engaged in an effort to overturn the election. But, you know, Luke, Kristen, do you feel like this is this helpful, or does this help Trump because it just generates more controversy about him?
Hey, I think it's confusing. I mean, then you look at what happened in California and what's happening in Minnesota and Michigan and like all over the country. Every state is a little bit different, but every state's constitution is a little bit different. So it's incredibly confusing. And listening to the Secretary of State from California talk about her decision to allow Trump to be on the ballot just helps you understand the complexity of this really complicated issue. For me personally, Trump doesn't have to be convicted of insurrection in order for this amendment to be enacted. It really is just that he engaged, if you read the actual amendment, it's engaged in insurrection. So the argument that I keep hearing from Trump backers is that he was not convicted of insurrection. Well, that is not what the Constitution says. And you would think they would know that because they're the ones who are, you know, clinging to the Constitution.
Yep. Luke?
I mean, as civic media, its mission is to try to engage and inform listeners about things like that are very complex civic things. It's important for people to know states run elections. And so I think there's at a core value there. I think it is important to have this conversation about where the rules and regulations are about how to get on a ballot for a national election like a presidential race. But at the same time, Kristen pointed out, the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution doesn't say you need to be convicted. It's simply not everybody that left the United States and joined the Confederacy had to be convicted of that insurrection to not be able to serve as officers of the United States. That is the whole premise of that 14th Amendment. And so, yeah, I don't think it needs to be necessarily as complex as some people want to make it, because it is right. Pretty of a slam dunk in my reading of it, but I'm not an expert. I'm not a constitutional scholar, but having the conversation and discussing it, I think is really important for people to figure out what it takes to actually get on these ballots and why it is so open and shut that it shouldn't be.
And I agree with you there. And I think it's obvious, and that's where I'm disappointed. Not only that the Wisconsin Elections Commission didn't take action there, but for a second time decided not to take up a complaint against the fake electors. And I don't know what else to say other than that I respectfully disagree. The Democratic members of the commission are respected attorneys, and Jacobs and Mark Thompson. I know them, and I know they have high expectations of themselves to be true to the law. I'm going to defer to them, but say that I just don't know why you would not hear the complaint and determine that, for example, the fake electors were like the getaway drivers in a heist who should still face some kind of review and reprimand. But again, that's something that I'm going to air my disagreement respectfully, and then we're going to continue to follow the story as it goes through the courts instead. We'll have today's history lesson and some musical memories coming up right after this here up north.
You're listening to the Shaw, WAUK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets.
And everybody
ain't got no cigarettes.
Roger Miller was born this day in 1936, passed away in 1992, but he gave us King of the Road and so many other little easy listening tunes from the way back in the day. It's a very short lineup on this day in history. Apparently, everybody wanted to do their stuff on January 1st because January 2nd gives us very little in terms of, world history or music history. So just a couple of other musical notes to pass along. On this day in 1941, the Andrews Sisters released a little ditty that would be played throughout the coming World War II years.
Chicago way.
And this Andrew Sisters tune would be remade by Bette Midler in the early 1980s. I thought she did a very nice job with the remake on that. But Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy was released this day in 1941. 30 years later, 1971, George Harrison's first album after the breakup of the Beatles. His album was titled All Things Must Pass. It hit number one and stayed atop the album chart for 7 weeks with tunes including What Is Life?
I love this one.
I love this so much, yeah. Oh, turn the volume up on this one every time it comes over the radio.
Can we just listen to this song and just like play up the segment? Let's go. Everybody up and dance.
What I feel.
Well, here's the thing. I'm still recovering from what I just said. The Andrews Sisters, 1941, and then just 30 years later comes this George Harrison one in 1971. And now I can't remember the exact example, but somebody talked about something in particular that happened 40 years ago, which would now be 1984. Which is the same amount of time as going back to 1944 to 1984. And I feel like I need to lay down when I now realize
you're mathing a lot right now.
How quickly the years pass. I mean, look how long it's already been since, 2010 feels like just a blip on the radar, but it's now been 14 years. Because, see, I'd have been terrible writing a checkbook today. I'd get the wrong date on there, but no, it's now,
what's a checkbook?
It's now 14 years, Grandma, since Kesha's first single, TikTok, hit number one.
Make it pop, DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the
I'm just thinking my first grandson, Mason, he was only like about 4 or 5 years old when the song was a hit. And he's out there trying to sing along and dance to this. And it's cute and adorable. And if I played that video for him now as a 17-year-old, he'd get really mad at me. So keep it to my memory.
Did you happen to notice that Luke turned this song really loud and then his head started doing that bobble thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, yeah, he's got the... He's definitely got the bobble thing going. He's been to Bobblehead Day one too many times. He's got the impression down.
That's what we need. We need some civic media bobbleheads, and Luke would be the very first one.
Oh, well, yes. I was, forced to be on the dance floor at a event that took place over the last 2 weeks.
Right, I missed the civic media Christmas party.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and so we had apparently there's videos of a lot of the different staff joining the dance floor.
Here's what it looked like. I was watching last night a little bit of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction concert.
Yeah,
and I couldn't catch it all. I'm very happy that it's going to be streaming on Disney Plus starting today because I want to go back and catch it. But I happened to be watching during the tribute to Don Cornelius and the Soul Train dance line. Everybody knows the Soul Train dance line. I immediately thought of you and the videos from the Civic Media Christmas party because it did. It looked just, it was just like watching Soul Train.
It was a good time. So it was a lot of fun, and that's all I can do. I can't dance a lot, but I can try to get the energy of a room up a little bit, and so a lot of bobbleheading and just nodding along and just trying to dance was a lot of fun with the civic media staff at the end of kind of middle of the last month, but it was a good time.
I've just got this picture in my head of Luke leading the bunny hop all over the room.
No, that didn't happen, but I had a nice Santa Claus hat that I was wearing around, and that was fun.
Yes, he's the guy that wants to energize a room. He's our little caffeine pill. He's our Red Bull. That's what it is. There are a lot of national days and weeks and months, of course, because it's January and, early January. This is National Ancestry Day, National Personal Trainer Day, Personal Trainer Awareness Month. More than a few New Year's resolutions going on out there. It's National Swiss Cheese Day for reasons mysterious to me. It's National Introvert Day. It's National Someday We'll Laugh About This Week, which I think is kind of funny. Like, well, we're doing something stupid, but someday we'll laugh about this. It's National Diet Resolution Week. It is Bread Machine Baking Month. It's National Soup Month. It is Dry January. It's National Get Organized Month. And for Dr. Lyerly, it is Cervical Health Awareness Month. So the one truly serious thing that's on there, Kristen, why is cervical health awareness so important, and what can women do about making sure that they stay healthy?
Well, get your pap tests, ladies.
There you
come
go.
On. Mm-hmm. Yeah, make your appointments. They've changed it. So when I was growing up, you got a pap and a pelvic every year, and then they changed the guidelines because we discovered that we didn't need to do this pap test, which everybody is like, my pap test. Many people fear the pap test. This is cervical cancer screening, and we don't need to do it every single year for most people. And we don't need to do it as early as we'd been doing it. So we changed the guidelines. We added HPV screening because we know that most cases of cervical cancer are associated with the HPV, the human papillomavirus. So we've gotten much, much better about screening, but you still got to get in the door, and it's good to go every year. Just make that appointment, put it on your calendar. Your doctor will help you know what the appropriate screening regimen is for cervical cancer. And you'll also talk about all that other good stuff, like checking your blood pressure and, what else do you need to do to fine tune your health?
And if people are saying, why are you guys talking about pelvic exams this early in the morning? It's because we want you to be healthy. So for guys, yesterday I finished scheduling my colonoscopy for later this month. So that's got to get done too, guys. So let's make that part of the New Year's resolution.
I changed the water filter on my refrigerator, and that's the only thing that I've done so far. So I should probably look into the health things too.
You are just Captain Health over there.
I got you.
Yep.
Let's chat.
All right. More coming up. Take a little pause here for news and weather and more. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News Radio. You're up north. Back in a bit.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media.